weeks ago, Boston law enforcement announced its biggest takedown of a Boston area drug ring. We're using this drug bust to look a little deeper into gang culture in Boston. With me in the studio is Ed Powell, the executive director of Street Safe Boston, a gang violence and prevention program in Boston. Ed Powell, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
So when this huge drug bust happened, that was a couple things were startling. First, how big it was. Some were saying at the time it was the biggest that had ever happened. It turns out that's not quite true, but it's pretty huge. The second thing was that it was being orchestrated from prison with a guy, well, pretty much from prison, with a guy who had been instrumental in one of the major gangs in town. And that led to a refocus on drug culture or gang culture, because the cops, in fact, were tracking the violence and that led them to the drugs as it was going. How do we describe gang culture here in Boston? I think people are accustomed to hearing about mean streets of New York. Certainly we've seen the violence in Boston, but I don't think it ever felt as dangerous. But now it feels quite dangerous.
Yeah, well, in Boston, you know, there's a small number of areas in the city of Boston that are affected by gang violence, less than 5% of the city. And there's a small number of individuals, I would say 1%, 15 to 24, who are the drivers of the violence. But 85% of this violence happens in, again, less than 5% of the city. So if you live in those areas, it obviously would feel like this is something that is out of control.
You're being assaulted.
Right.
You know, literally and figuratively.
Right, right. But,
you know, one of the surprises, as I said, in looking at this drug bust was the fact that this guy was operating this humongous drug ring from prison. And what the cops have said is that they were accustomed to looking at these gangs, and they mentioned two of them, the Boylston Street Gang and the Mozart Street Gang, as having kind of low-level drug activity. But then they looked around and saw that they were spending money on champagne, they're buying the Mercedes-Benzes. I mean, it was out of control, and nobody was working, so clearly something else was going on. And that led them to take another look at what was going on. How could something – how do you move from being a street-level, as they would describe it, low-level gang to, you know, being operatives in something as massive as it was with this guy from prison orchestrating it?
Well, I would assume that he had a lot of help. You know, one of the things that we're seeing is a lot of the violence that is driven on the street. You know, some of it starts that are conflicts that are in jail. And that's why we deploy some staff to really do some interventions in prisons with young people. The majority of what we're seeing with the 20 groups that we work with at Street Safe is not drug related. That's a piece of it. But most of it is, you know, generational stuff that kids grew up in a conflict that, you know, a family member or they're from a particular neighborhood, things of that nature. Or it could be as simple as a Facebook insult that is driving the violence.
So it never says it's been going on for years and you just have various people escalating it from year to year because we're still, you know, seeking revenge for something that happened 5 years ago, ten
right.
years ago.
Right. There are some instances where we know that the people who started the conflict are now getting along and the young people are just fighting because that's what they were brought into and that's what they know.
So, I mean, and the intervention is key, as we've seen in many communities, and certainly Street Safe has been successful in the intervention. How do you work that from both prison and out here on the streets when you get those, particularly the young people who are now left prison and back on the streets and very susceptible to falling back into this?
Well, what you have to do is you have to connect with the people who are the influencers. And really develop relationships where you can begin to get them to think, is there another way? The interesting thing is when I think about the drug situation that happened last week, if, you know, the groups that we were working with were making a lot of money, we might not have the opportunity to get them to think about doing something different. Because they're not making that kind of money and it's not available on the street, young men are willing to listen about alternatives to violence. Because most of the young men that we've come in contact with, most of them, there are a few that, you know, they're not finished yet in their words. But most of the young men do want to find something new. They just need somebody to show them the way.
So how do you evaluate a Boylston Street gang and a Mozart Street gang in the context of what you've just described, which is most people are not making that kind of money? Mm-hmm. They're not involved in the big things. They're on the low level. They're maybe approachable as you can approach them about doing something different, because crime is not paying for them, in essence.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think you would look at a situation like that as a brick at a time. You may not be able to pull the whole wall down, but are there individuals who are in that mix that are willing to listen to a street worker or our service delivery people we call program coordinators? Are they willing to listen to? Because what we understand as street safe is that these are young people that have been in trouble. They're going to try something and they may not go directly into it. They may run away from it. But at least we want to show them what something else looks like. So I you know, what I would say with a situation like that is it's a brick at a time. Can we get a couple of people to look at something different?
What would you describe for us the reality of some of the lives of these kids, and so we understand what it takes for them to sort of leave that behind, or for you all to try to work with them to help them to leave that behind?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was in a conversation with a young man not too long ago, and what he was doing was really rating the effectiveness of programs based on who had the best food.
And what?
Who had the best food. And you know what was interesting is that what we realized with this young man is he woke up in the morning, he was hungry.
Mm.
That was his main thing to do for the day. He didn't have great living conditions, so he couldn't break away from the gang. In a lot of instances, the gangs was providing him a place to stay. There was an instance where, you know, he finally got some money to get something to eat, and he went to a corner store. And, you know, going to that corner store, he violated some conditions of his parole that he was on because he was around gang members.
Mm.
This kid was really not in a position to break away because of all the other things that were going on in his life. He was hungry, unemployed, and homeless. So those are some very real issues that some of the young men are dealing with.
And when you say young men, that's deliberate. I looked on your website, it's a Street Safe website, and I'm talking with Ed Powell, the executive director of Street Safe, which is a gang violence and prevention program in Boston. And it said six young black men's deaths are in Boston are the sixth highest. It was some incredible number of how many deaths young black men are dying from the violence. You know, we've heard the stories from Chicago, for example. Let me get it right because I'm doing this. Boston ranks sixth, I'm sorry, for cities with the sharpest rise in homicides amongst black males. That's on your website. And 81% of those homicides, as you said before, occur in certain neighborhoods. So, you know, you're using young men deliberately because that's the focus of your work primarily.
The majority of young people that we work with are young men. We do have a sprinkling of young women. You know, the interesting thing in Boston is that, you know, most cities of comparable size in this nation would look at the murder rate, the homicide rate in Boston as utopia. The thing with us in Boston is the homicide rate for us is unacceptable. And there are a bunch of organizations, and Street Safe being a piece of the puzzle, that are looking at this and saying, in essence, we think we can win. It's small enough. We know who the players are. The question is, will we have the gumption to look at these problems and seriously delve into them?
But when you're talking about life issues as a driver for young men to become involved in this kind of activity, if there are folks that don't recognize that the life issues are often what the gang is providing a family, a place to stay, some food to eat. So, you know, why not hang out here and do what they say, because at least I have that coupled with what you've already articulated, which is some long held feuds going on.
Right.
I mean, that's, you can come at this two different ways, but still, you know, that's some stuff that's really, it's built in. It's foundational.
Right. We have to look at all of the risk factors that these young men are dealing with. But, you know, as at StreetSafe, we look at it a couple of ways. We have the street level intervention. We've got to navigate their safety and their conflicts on the street so that they can have the space to be able to look at what are the other issues that are preventing them from being successful or preventing them to get to be self-sufficient. First, we navigate those issues, and sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy at all, ever. And then we have situations where we have our program coordinators sit down with young people and look at what would success look like for you. And here's what skin in the game you have to have. And we'll help you with that. We'll take a step with you. We'll offer you what we can offer you. But you're going to have skin in the game.
When you have a situation where the cops feel as though they made a pretty huge dent in some of the drug trafficking, I know that a lot of the young men you're dealing with are not exactly involved in drug trafficking, but yet and still, these two gangs that we mentioned, the Boylston Street and the Mozart, were and involved with this young man in prison. They put a dent in that. With that, at least, a little air taken out of that bubble, if you will. Does that give you a little, even more leeway to come in and pick up the pieces with those kids who were perhaps on the fringe or even maybe in the middle of that and now don't have that as a place to go to because it's been broken up?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it. You know, one of the things that we say to young people that we work with is the reality is life of crime has a couple of ways to end up. You're either going to go to prison for a long time or someone's going to kill you. So when something like this happens, some people, not all, but some people are willing to look at, okay, I don't want that to be my reality. What else can you offer me? You know, and most young people want to make a good decision. They just don't know how. You have to have caring adults who can wrap around that person. When we see that person to help them. And we see young people as that are the 1% that are driving the violence. We see them as some young folks who are redeemable. We can help them if we provide the proper supports.
And Ed Powell, last word. The 1%, the small neighborhoods where this is concentrated, there's an impact beyond that area and right. that 1%. So the rest of us have to pay attention.
Right, right, right. I think that, you know, a lot of people like to bury their head in the sand and say that, you know, that's them, it's not me. But, you know, these are our children. It should be unacceptable for our children to be killing each other. We as a society, it should be unacceptable.
Thank you very much, Ed Powell, the executive director of StreetSafe. I've been talking about gangs and violence and intervention with Ed Powell, the executive director of StreetSafe Boston. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone who owns a car knows the headaches that come with getting it repaired. Something as simple as an oil change or a new tire can become a costly and complicated process. Well, now you can do something about it. We'll look at a new ballot initiative that could change the way auto mechanics work and how you can get your car fixed. I'm Callie Crossley. You're listening to Boston Public Radio on WGBH.